Winning is an everyday mindset, and on the Ways to Win podcast, coaches Craig Robinson and John Calipari are here to help. Each week, Craig and Coach Cal use their on-court wisdom to solve off-court problems. They'll talk about the latest news in college and professional basketball with coaches like Jim Boeheim, former players like Stephanie White, basketball analysts like Grant Hill, and more. Revealing insights that made them into the leaders they are today. And don't miss President Obama, sharing how he deals with pressure by projecting confidence, believing in your team, and taking criticism.
Welcome to the show. We call it IB Nation Sports Talk. Chuckles over there is Vince D'Addario. I'm Sean Stiers. How are you today?
Fantastic. I am fantastic.
One thumbs up.
Yeah, man. One day away from spring break, which excited about that. And yeah, natives are definitely restless at school.
Boy, it doesn't feel like spring out there, though, does it?
Today, it actually isn't terrible, but it started out at like 18 degrees. And when I left school, it was about 50. So it wasn't too bad when I left. But, yeah, not a great day.
Yeah, that's. I guess I haven't really been outside. I was outside this morning when it was freaking cold. I guess I was outside a little bit this afternoon, but not too much. It's still the sun's shining anyway, but feels good.
Helps.
Well,
tomorrow,
we got a lot to talk about.
Saturday is going to be terrible, and yeah, tomorrow is going to be terrible.
Jesse is at Wrigley today with his girlfriend. They were at the season opener, Cubs and Brewers. Things turned out well. Major League Baseball opening day. I didn't realize, I think I saw somebody said, like, this is the first time in 60 plus years, something like that, that every major league team is playing on opening day today.
Huh. That's interesting. And
yeah, I thought so as well.
It's probably accurate because there's usually like two or three, like, they kind of get some big name games, like, to be the first opening day. And then the next day, everybody else kind of piles in. You know,
right.
That is pretty accurate.
They stagger it, like, in case of, like, weather cancellations, sure, and stuff like that and whatever else. But in any case, they were all supposed to be playing today. I don't know if anybody got canceled or not. We'll talk more about that in rapid fire in a little bit. We've got some comments from Al Golden coming up. I think some really interesting comments that you're going to want to hear.
Okay.
Some different things, state of the defense and his second season and some different things like that. We'll also hear from Micah Shrewsbury in rapid fire, but nice. Introduced as head coach today. It was kind of Marcus Freeman introductory press conference 2.0. They copied the exact format essentially that Marcus Freeman had at his introduction. It's just that they did it inside Purcell Pavilion rather than inside the Irish Athletic Center. You had the band play, and here comes Shrewsbury and his family through the Purcell tunnel and all that kind of stuff. And you had an MC, you had Jordan Cornette subbing for Brady Quinn. And of course you had Jack Swarbrick as well as Father John and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And then some Q&A from the media. What did you think? Any resounding takeaway from Micah Shrewsbury's introduction today?
Resounding takeaway? No.
Any slight takeaway?
The best part about what he said.
Takeaway at all.
The best part about what he said, right? Because that's all a press conference is, just a bunch of talking, right? The best part about what he said is that he is a defense first coach. And I think, you know, granted,
that's a shift in philosophy.
Is that a cliche? Sure. But as a shift in philosophy for what has been going on at Notre Dame for the last, you know, 20 years. So that was exciting. That was, you know, something that was good to hear. I hope that that is the case. And I think, you know, they're going to have a roster of guys that they're going to be underdogs a lot. And how do you coach up underdogs? They play good, solid defense, right? That's how you stay in games. And so I like that philosophy. I really do. And so we'll see what happens. But, you know, that was a good thing. But I think what you already said, what did I take from it? As soon as I started watching it, I was like, I was just at this a little over a year ago. Oh, wait, but that was for the football coach. Like, it was identical, almost like script was identical for when they introduced Marcus Freeman. And I guess, you know, when you got a good thing going, you stick with it. I don't know. I guess that's the best way to put it.
Now, I was looking for this book. Malcolm Gladwell. Have you ever read any of his stuff?
No.
He's got a lot of different books. He's got a lot of bestsellers, actually. Okay. And I was thinking it was this one called Outliers, but it's not. I don't think it is this one. But there's this David and Goliath. That's the book that it is. David and Goliath is the name of the book. But he's also, he wrote this one called Outliers and some other books. But in David and Goliath, there is, it's kind of a series, not short stories, but just like different examples of kind of how like the little guy toppled the big guy kind of thing. And in David and Goliath, there is a, one of his stories is about how this guy who had never coached basketball before, never really knew that much about basketball, was coaching his daughter's youth team. And, you know, he kind of did some research, talked to some people about, you know, how can a guy who's never coached before, you know, with a group of young girls who really wasn't, you know, it was, I don't know how competitive the league was, but they weren't supposed to be very good. How can they essentially, you know, kind of like analytics or, you know, like, help me out, Moneyball, you know, like the Moneyball, basketball, you know, kind of thing. What is undervalued? Defense. And so he made this team of young girls, I think, you know, 12-year-olds, maybe, you know, somewhere around that age. They were like the defensive machine of this league, and they ticked everybody off, and they won the championship in their league, you know? So they're coached by this guy who knows nothing about basketball, really nothing, you know, had never coached before. They focused on defense, and they won their league. So that was kind of the point of my story. And that's, you can at least be competitive. You can stay in games, especially in a sport like basketball. I mean, just look at Virginia and their whole philosophy, keep the points down. Now, sometimes that leaves you more prone to upsets, but over the course of a full season, they've won a heck of a lot more games than they've lost. Mm-hmm. And defense is a big reason why.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
They're going to have to be sound defensively because they're not going to go out and outscore everybody. I mean, that's just that's just not going to happen, right? So, you know, they're going to have to play some defense, and they're going to have to play as a team, and all the things that he was preaching, they're going to have to do all of those things. And so, you know, I'm excited about it. I think Micah Shrewsbury is going to be a really good coach, but people need to not let the, you know, put the cart before the horse. Like, be patient. It's not going to happen overnight.
Exactly. That would have been the next words right out of my mouth. It is not going to be an overnight resurrection project. You know, don't forget the state the roster is in right now. He's got a lot of work to do. Maybe he's able to go out and get some transfer. He was asked about NIL and the transfer portal. Really didn't answer, you know, much in terms of that specific question. But we'll see. We know his son is going to be coming in here, Braden Shrewsbury. And there are some other possibilities. So we'll see what he's able to put together in year one. Again, like I'm not going to base my opinion, a lot of my opinion on him and what happens in year one, unless he's able to go out and get, you know, some big stud transfers that nobody's foreseeing right now. And all of a sudden, you know, make it. But the question is, how competitive are they going to be? Right. Like if it's at least a competitive team, I think a lot of people will be happy. Now, others will probably base too much on his first season and go, see, we got this new coach and blah, you know, whatever. Scheduling philosophy is going to be another thing. I'll be curious to see what he does with the schedule.
Yeah.
Because, you know, with the exception of ACC games, we just, in the last 23 years, did not see very many marquee non-conference type matchups at Purcell Pavilion.
The last time, not at Purcell, that's for sure. I mean, the last time they did anything.
Well, really, and that's marquee, what I'm talking about. I'm talking about for season ticket holders, getting the local fan base excited. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah. There's not much to get excited about except for the occasional, North Carolina Duke, visit. But that's conference play. And that's not going out on a limb. Now, one of the things he did say was, I'll play anybody. Like, we'll play anybody. Because somebody asked him if he wanted to get Purdue and IU and Butler on the schedule, like the Crossroads Classic. And he's like, we'll play anybody. Bring it on. Whatever. And I appreciate that. We'll see how true that is when they start putting the schedule together, obviously. But,
Mike Bray found out pretty quickly that IU series went away pretty quickly. And then it ended up turning into the Crossroads Classic because what would happen? Season ticket holders, people would buy season tickets.
Sure,
who are IU fans, so they could show up in their red to Purcell Pavilion. And I don't think Mike Bray didn't want it, and I don't blame him for not playing that series anymore.
I don't want my
home arena full of 75%, 80% of the other team.
I completely
that'll
agree.
Be something. There's always considerations that come around with that. You don't learn until you go through it a time or two.
Yep.
So, but good luck. I mean, as we've talked before, I mean, if there was a slam dunk hire, this seemed like it. Apparently he was Jack Swarbrick's guy from day one, and they pursued him, and they started off with a really big list, and they whittled it down, and Micah Shrewsbury ended up being the guy. So, again, we'll have some specific comments from him coming up in rapid fire in a little bit. But how about some specific comments from one Al Golden, defensive coordinator of the Fighting Irish. And I know you've been waiting for this all day, haven't you, Vince?
Absolutely. Because I purposely did not listen to any of his comments.
Okay.
Since yesterday's press conference.
Excellent.
Because I know it's going to sound like I wasn't preparing for the show, but I like to be surprised by what they have to say. So you get my genuine reaction to what the guys are talking about, right? And there's a reason that you don't share the audio with me, too. I mean, I could go out and find it, obviously. But there's a reason. And I'm excited to hear what he has to say.
I could. I knew you'd never listen to it, but I could.
Ouch.
But
because I want the surprise on the show.
Oh, yes, yes. That's right. The surprise. The surprise. Yeah. That's why.
Yep. Forgot.
By the way, hit the like button if you would. We do appreciate it, and it helps out Irish Breakdown. I saw Brian, before we get into this first Al Golden comment, the super chats yesterday for the Notre Dame softball cancer fundraiser raised over $1,000 yesterday. IB subscribers did. So good job. Good
that was
job,
awesome.
Everybody. We appreciate it. And he said, after YouTube takes its fees, we'll be able to donate a little over $800 to them. So, Very good.
Old YouTube.
Job well done.
And yes. That doesn't even count to people that went straight to the link to the donation page.
Who knows
for
how
softball.
Many people did that?
You know, I'm hoping that, you know, we'll say that at least $200 worth of people did that. So we can say that Ivy Nation at least put out $1,000, which I think is awesome.
Yeah, for sure. All right. So Al Golden going into his second season as Notre Dame's defensive coordinator. How much of a difference has he noticed with this being his second season through this first week of spring practice?
You know, last year was the confluence of a lot of different things meeting in spring ball. You know, myself, in the systems I've been a part of, the personnel that was here, and then Marcus's system, and even to some extent, you know, the guys that were here before Marcus, Mick and CO, like some of the things like they brought from Clark. So all of that came together last year, and it was overwhelming at times trying to get it calmed down. But I was just asked a question downstairs, and that was the first order of priority for me this offseason was, don't just pick the plays you're going to run in the spring, but look at the opponents first, and what do we need to run? Because we probably practiced some things last spring that we didn't need to. And as the season evolved, I needed X, Y, and Z. So now we're practicing X, Y, and Z, and these other things are gone. So, and that's been awesome, just to be on a staff, you know, with Mick and CO and Wash, and obviously what Max brings coming from Alabama. Just, you know, he's brought so much in terms of experience, and it's been a good offseason in terms of that, and hopefully the kids feel it.
All right, Vince, you know, Michael, you know, came out guns blazing on Al Golden there. He's saying word salad, Al Golden. I mean, I didn't think that was a word salad there. Personally, you know, he said that before we played the soundbite. He's basically saying, look, we pared some things down from last year. Third defensive coordinator in as many years, and they've eliminated some stuff. I think that's a pretty good sign. What do you think?
But isn't that what we asked for? Isn't that what we wanted? I mean,
well, he did it though. So are you going to complain because he did it now?
And that's what I'm saying. That's exactly what I'm saying. Isn't that what we wanted? Wasn't the big complaint that it was too complicated and guys were going too slow?
Yeah.
They pared it down. Okay. Check the box. Like that, to me, that was great to hear. That means that they did a self-evaluation and they came to the same conclusion that a lot of other people came to, is that they weren't being allowed to just go out and play, right? Yes, you have to play within a scheme and soundly and all of those things. But, you know, come on. This is what they wanted. This is what everybody wanted. Everybody should be happy when they hear this. And I'm happy that I'm hearing it.
Yeah. And I think Christopher must be from Missouri. He needs Al Golden to show him. He says, I think the problem is we need to see it first. I mean, I don't disagree with that, but... And that's something, you know, again, it's like when you're talking about spring practice, we have no idea what they're talking about in the film room and what they're putting in and what kind of things they're actually, you know, how many different concepts or plays or, you know, whatever they're running on a daily basis. But he's saying that they've pared it down. And like he was, again, third defensive coordinator in as many seasons. And I mean, he's talking about tentacles going back to, we still had some of Clark Lee stuff in there last year. We had some of Marcus Freeman stuff in there last year. And in fairness to him, he did get hired just a little bit more than a month before spring practice started, you know, and not like Jared Parker, where at least he was in the program and had a lot more familiarity. He was coming from the NFL where he hadn't even, you know, other than who knows how much college film he had even watched, you know, like he probably as a position coach was not very involved in the draft process. That was a lot more on the general manager and the head coach and, you know, the scouts and those kind of guys. So I think that his willingness to recognize that they needed to get rid of some things is really telling. Now, how much of that came from the top down to him? Who knows?
Sure.
But at least for now, he's saying that they did what they needed to do, and that was simplify things a bit.
Yeah. So, I mean, okay. Like I said, first box checked. Like there's certain things that you need to hear, and then there's certain things that you need to see.
Yeah.
Haven't been able to see anything because we haven't been in there, right? We get a full practice on Saturday. we'll be able to see some things, right? And we're going to make all kinds of broad, you know, statements about what we saw, and, you know, that's all well and good, and that's fine. But we need to hear it too, because if he's taking the time to actually say the words, that means he at least is thinking about it, and that's important.
Okay, Vince, I'm going to need you to vamp here for a minute, because I just found out that my setting is on my home internet, not the internet that's at least somewhat better that I run. Yeah, you were sounding clunky on my end. So talk about the fundraiser or something here for a minute. I'll be right back. I got to jump out and then connect onto a different internet hub. Okay.
All right. So we were just talking about the fundraiser for the Notre Dame softball team. And I believe their goal is $40,000. And USMA 87 has us an update. They're up to $36,800 in donations, which is awesome. So happy. It's one of the things that I actually love about being part of Irish Breakdown is that we do these fundraisers for good causes. And, you know, the money doesn't all go into our pockets. As Brian likes to say, he puts it back into the company and then he puts it back out into the community. And I love that. And I love that's part of being part of the IB family. So thank you everybody for doing that. That's awesome. And that was really fast on your part, by the way.
Yes.
And you are.
Am I connected? Can you hear me?
Clear as a bell.
Nice.
You were kind of blurry before.
Yeah. It was chopping on my end, and that's the first symptom. I think what happens is the router, you know, like reboots by itself every once in a while. And when it does that, my laptop automatically connects to the other internet. And I did not double check that before we started. So that's
great.
That's
all of your glory.
So do you, pal.
Yes. I was fishing for that compliment.
That's right. Our old friend face. You remember that?
Yes, I do.
All right. So we were talking about the little changes that Al Golden made. And, you know, he's got more familiarity with his staff, his personnel, with everything. And hopefully they've got, you know, the players have more familiarity with the system that they're running now. It just makes everything better. You play faster, you know, the more you know. And if you pare things down, you're going to learn all this stuff quicker. But there is also familiarity with the opponents that he didn't have last year after coaching in the NFL for those 6 years.
That was the impetus for our approach this offseason. You know, I hadn't seen all those offenses. I tried to catch up, but it was really hard, you know, because I got here so late. So, and I know the personnel better. So I know what the personnel, what their strengths are and what they can do really well. And but just to have those veteran guys being able to, when you're strong up the middle, you got a chance to be strong. And right now our inside backers and safeties are all veterans, and they can solve problems on the field, which is great.
So Vince, what do you think? You were in a conference, you know, the number of repeat opponents from last year to this year, it's almost half the schedule. It's five, out of seven. So not quite half, but almost there. You know, you were in a conference, you play teams year after year, that familiarity, how much difference do you think that makes year in and year out?
It makes a huge difference. That's why Navy isn't as good as they used to be, because they're in a conference now. I mean, familiarity breeds success. I mean, there's just no two ways about it. And
I thought it breeded contempt.
Well, breed success for me. So okay. I just made that up. I know there's a quote out there someplace, but
you ooze success. That's what it is.
Well, you're not wrong. That's why I'm wearing the green money shirt today. No, but I think it absolutely makes a difference. Number one, the familiarity with the teams that you're playing. Absolutely. 100%. Right. But the familiarity with his own team, I think, is also something that is going to make a huge difference. Yes, he gets to know them throughout the season and things like that. But now he's seen a lot of these guys in various situations, various scenarios. He's seen them in the off season. He's seen them throughout the entire season. I think that's going to make a big difference, because he's very familiar now with the strengths and the weaknesses of everybody on that squad. I actually like the fact that he's got a familiarity with the team more so than a familiarity with the opponents, but still, it's going to breed more success all around.
Yes. I smell a little sarcasm in the chat tonight. People are going after Al Golden.
Yeah, they are.
I got here so late because I was coaching at the Super Bowl. I mean,
it's true.
Like if you were going to bring a note home to Marcus Freeman, like, dear Marcus, please excuse Al. He was coaching in the Super Bowl. You know, like, that seems like a valid excuse.
Yeah.
Signed Epstein's mother. You know, like.
Welcome back.
That's right. Like, it seems like a valid excuse to me. He's coaching at the Super Bowl. I mean, and, you know, it gives him. But I agree, and it gives him now, like he was talking about, like in the spring, there are specific things that he can work on, install with his players in the spring, this spring specifically,
right.
That there was no, you know, last year it was all just base type stuff and learning right. A base type stuff, and it sounds like a lot of base type stuff, but now you can work in some team specific stuff that you're going to need to have. And so you can be ready for it in the fall. You know, you can mm-hmm. work on little bits and pieces like Navy, especially since, you know, you're going to play Navy right out of the gate this year. You can work on a little Navy stuff during the spring and have that ready to go for the fall and then work on, you know, little bits and pieces early, but you're going to have Navy right away. So having that experience, I think is going to do nothing but help now. And you know, now look, I know we're playing these sound bites and you hear Al Golden say this, and there's people, you know, who still aren't going to be sold
That's
on
fine.
Al Golden. I mean, they had a pretty good defense last year. To me, and we're going to talk about this here in a minute, to me, the biggest thing was the red zone. Red zone gets better. Do you want to just talk about the red zone right now? Should we
Jump
just
in.
Go straight to the red zone?
Let's
comments?
Do it. Yeah.
We can come back to a couple of the other stuff, because I do think that the red zone, again, I think that is – the biggest thing, and that's the biggest area of improvement that I think they have. They ranked 130th out of 131 FBS teams. There's no way around it. That is not good. How are you going to get better in the red zone, Al Golden?
You know, challenges. There's no vertical throws in the low red, and it's all horizontal game. You know, hold your ground. There's definitely a renewed emphasis starting with me. I got to do a better job calling it down there. And, you know, we took some things out and put some things in. And from that standpoint, you know, we just needed, you know, if we had three stops to go with what we were doing up the field, like three or four more stops, because we were very hard, you know, I think we were very good at not letting guys in the red. Yeah, so if we could stay there and then improve this, it's really going to help us a lot.
And what he was talking about there, very good at not letting teams in the red zone. Only 34 red zone trips by opponents last year. And over 13 games, that's less than three times per game in the red zone. So they were good at keeping teams out of the red zone for the most part. The problem was, as soon as you get to the red zone, it's like a free pass. Just there you go. There's the end zone.
Absolutely.
You know? 27 touchdowns and 5 field goals later. 32 of 34. Times 93% team scored once they got to the red zone. That's a huge issue.
It's a huge issue. I mean, they were what, top 10 going into the red zone, like preventing teams from getting in the red zone, which is great. You know, it's that whole, hey man, they played great between the 20s, but then when you get in the red zone, you know, either the offense sputters or the defense just gives up. Like that's not a good combination, right? And so they have to get better in the red zone. They, you know, and he took some onus on it. He's like, I got to make some better calls. I got to have a better package in the red zone. We've got to be better. There's no way you can't defend 130 out of 131. I mean, you can't defend that. Right.
Right.
So he's right. They have to get better in the red zone. Have to. And they were still a top 20 defense with how putrid they were in the red zone.
Exactly.
They were a top 20 defense.
Think of how much better, you know, like Georgia was number two in the red zone. Last year, like deconstruct this a little bit. So you got 34 red zone trips. Again, that's less than three times per game opponents got to the red zone. There were eight teams that allowed 50 plus red zone trips last year. So, and there was, I think the worst in the nation was 62, something like that. So almost double the red zone trips that Notre Dame allowed. Ohio State, I was shocked when I saw this. I didn't realize how bad they were in red zone defense. But again, like it's a little bit like playing with numbers. They were 126th, but they allowed 27 scores out of 29 attempts. Nine were field goals, and you know they almost went to the college football playoff. You know, and that was ranking 126th in red zone defense. The other end of the spectrum was Georgia, who was number two. They, just like Notre Dame, had 34 opponent trips to the red zone. They only allowed 13 touchdowns and forced 10 field goals. So, like, if you start with improving this thing, you know, like Al Golden's talking about better calls and stuff like that, and that's absolutely right. If you give up a touch or give up a field goal rather on like a third of those 27 touchdowns that were scored, I mean, that gets you down to right around 20 points allowed per game just by itself. You know, like you're still going to be giving up red zone scores, but you're cutting down the points. Just giving, you know, forcing field goals would go a long way is my point. But you still have to find a way to whittle that number. And the other thing that you can do to whittle that number is something they were horrible in the first part of the season, was forcing turnovers. They got better as the season went on, but you know, it took them forever to start forcing turnovers. You start forcing some turnovers, that changes the game as well.
Sure. No, absolutely. And I think the bottom line here, and I love everything that you said, because you put it in black and white, kind of what needs to change. And if you change those little things, you get big changes, right? There doesn't need to be that much improvement overall defensively.
It's tweaks, really.
You got to tweak it.
Yeah.
And we were all ticked off at the way the defense played at times, right? We all were, right? They would give up that big long drive, you know, in the Ohio State game or another big long drive that put a game away. Like it was very depressing how that would happen, right? Well, I think the offense is going to possess the ball more this year. So that's going to take pressure off the defense right there. Right. And if you just tweak a little bit of the defense, all of a sudden you've got a championship caliber defense to go along with an offense that's going to score more points than they did last year.
See, and like, I think that the red zone struggles, now that, you know, there were some other things. Could they have tackled better? Of course they could. You know, like the play against Marshall, the drive late in the game against Marshall, and you know, all the, you know, there were plays here and there, but by and large, it was a good defense. And I think the struggles of the red zone mixed with some inconsistent linebacker play mask what was otherwise a pretty good defense last year. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Again, a couple tweaks and all of a sudden things are looking a lot different.
Yes. I would concur with that. So let's go to what Marcus Freeman touched on a little bit last week, and that is mixing the starters at practice. I think that like this, well, I'll let Al Golden discuss it first, and then we'll come back to our comments.
Every day, every single day, we mix the starting unit every time we go on the field, and the guys don't know who's starting until we announce it that morning. And it's helping with our, you know, preparedness. It's helping with our preparation. And it's a morale booster, you know. And you can't hide what's on tape. So if a guy's not quite ready for the ones, it kind of plays out that way. And if somebody, you know, is on the other hand doing well with their opportunity, then maybe that we should get a little bit more reps.
I'd like to know who came up with this. This whole, we're mixing starters every day. It's like, you know, like, I don't know if they're just drawing them out of the bag or if they're like, they're, you know, the coaches are sitting in a room and it's like, okay, here's going to be our, you know, I'm the linebacker coach. These are my three today. I'm the defensive line coach. Here's my starting four today. I wonder who's coming up with this. I wonder who came up with this idea, because I think it's a really good idea.
Yeah.
Especially for, you know, for doing it in the spring.
It's going to suck on Saturday because we're not going to know who they think the starters are, but
That's a fair point. It's not going to do us any good, right?
You know,
they'll probably go with a whole second team unit out there.
They're going to sit in their room in the morning before the thing, like, all right, how do we F with the media right now? Like, that's how I see those conversations going. But from a coaching standpoint, I like it. I like it a lot. And that's what you need to do in the spring, because this gives an opportunity for guys to get more reps, to get more important reps, and to get on film, just like he said. Film don't lie, right? Now, if they're doing this in the middle of August, I don't like that.
Oh, no.
That's where I would have a problem.
There's no way you do this in August.
Right.
Like, This is solely a spring thing. I think the spring is – this is the perfect time to be doing something like this, especially when you've got as many young guys as you've got running around out there.
Yeah, exactly. So I love it in the spring. I think it's great. I think it's going to give more guys some opportunities, which I also love. So, you know, I'm excited to see what it looks like on Saturday. I will say that.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what. There are at least some Al Golden defensive defenders in here, I guess. You know, like Michael's saying, scored 10 points in week one, so tell me what Al Golden was supposed to do. Give it up 21 points. You know, and
not
it's like
safety blitz.
Yeah, that well, yeah, and that's fair.
But he's
but you
not
still got to score. You
he's
still got to score more than 10 points. Absolutely. Yeah, that's right. That's
absolutely
right. It's like, you know, like losing a 1-0 game and blaming the pitcher for giving up one run, right? Like if you score 0-1 runs, you're not going to win the game no matter what. The best case, you're going extra innings. The offense has still got to score some points, and that's, you know, and, you know, Michael got even more serious. The offense choked in every loss. I mean, they definitely struggled.
You're not wrong.
In every loss. I mean, look
USC,
at, again,
Ohio State. Yeah. Stanford. Marshall.
The defense played well enough to win the Stanford game. There's no doubt about that. Offense had to score more. That's, that to me, like, if you're going to talk about choke jobs, that was the biggest choke of the season.
Yeah. And they should have scored enough to beat Marshall. I mean, that game was well within
hand. Well, that too. But yeah.
But yeah, you're absolutely right.
And then like USMA 87, the defense forced enough punts for 7 blocks. And, you know, that's something that kind of gets glossed over is the fact that they did force a lot of punts and a lot of 3-and-outs last year. A lot of 3-and-outs they forced. The problem was the offense had too many 3-and-outs of their own.
Agreed. Offense was way too inconsistent. Way too inconsistent all year.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
How about the defensive line? You know, this is a position that we were kind of talking about coming into the spring. You know, again, I think this is a position that's probably going to confuse us on Saturday, if I'm being honest, based on what you were just talking about. But here's what Golden said about it.
Right now, which is awesome. You know, you have your veterans coming back with Riley and Howard and Gabe to a certain extent. Nana, Baptiste coming in helps a lot. Jordan and Junior coming back and playing towards the end of the year helped us. So now we just need that next generation of guys to step up. You know, is it going to be Anya? Is it going to be Heinisch? Is it going to be Burnham? Who's it going to be? And that's what the spring's all about.
Does that defensive line just feel like it's going to take a lot of time to sort all of it out to you?
Yes, because I think there's a lot of guys with a lot of question marks. Now, I think there's talent there. I do. But I feel like it's very spread out. Like there's not anybody that's head and shoulders above somebody else. So you can look at that two different ways, right? Okay, there's no Isaiah Foskey. There's no Jason Adamalola. Okay. But there's a bunch of guys right here. So there's going to be a lot of competition. Okay. So you can say, oh man, we got no stars on the defensive line. You can also say these guys are going to be battling tooth and nail for playing time because nobody's like way up here versus way down here. They're all right here. So, I like the idea of some competition. I think it's going to make them better, but you're right. I don't think it's going to happen overnight.
No. I mean, and there are some, you know, like who was Michael was just commenting on Tyson Ford and, you know, Golden was asked about Tyson Ford and he was talking about how he's, you know, worked really hard to get, you know, strong and, you know, big and, you know, like a solid body on him. The main thing he was talking about with him was pad level, you know, just technique, those kind of things. And quite frankly, you know, based on performance last year, that's something that has to be proven by the defensive line coach that he can teach proper technique to get those guys doing what they're supposed to be doing. Not just tell them play with lower pad level, show them exactly how to play with lower pad level.
Yeah.
You know, those kind of things.
Absolutely. the little things. Things are going to make them better. Yeah. Period. I mean, that's where we are. And I said it before and I'll say it again. I do think the offense being better is going to make the defense better.
No, I agree. And you take some pressure off them. I definitely think that is going to help. And it's going to look different. I think this is going to be one of the most, you know, there are going to be fundamentally some things that are going to be similar to what we've seen last year, obviously, specifically, but the last few years even, whether it's offense or defense. But I think that when we sit and watch Notre Dame football on Saturdays this fall, overall, I think it's going to look a lot different than what we've seen in a long time, really. With who's going to be the quarterback, who he's going to be throwing to,
what it's going
to
look like,
that they're going to have, just the whole thing. Yeah.
I completely agree, and it's and that's all of it. All of it is for the better. We'll be right back.